All right, as promised, joining us here on the I Call the Game podcast is a man I've spoken with before on when I was part of the Locked On podcast network. He is the host of the Locked On Spurs podcast. He's also the lead Spurs writer for News 4 SA and Fox 29, Mr. Jeff Garcia at Jeff G Spurs Zone on Twitter. Jeff, I appreciate your time. How are things going in San Antonio country? It's not exactly the normal deal to see the Spurs not at the top. So how are you how are things going?
Hearts are racing, brows are sweaty, fingernails are being chewed right now as the Spurs, brace yourself, Ben, are fighting for a playoff spot. When is the last time you've heard anybody tell you that in the last two decades? It's been like this for San Antonio for, I would say, a good chunk of this little stretch run towards the playoffs. But fortunately, as of this recording, they're in. Hopefully they can stay there.
Right. Well, am I right? We're talking on Monday afternoon. Am I right? Golden State is up tonight. Is that what I saw?
Golden State is up tonight. Now the Spurs are 0-3 versus Golden State, but you know a little luck is on their side. We all know about GSW and their recent hit with the injury bug to their big three. So hopefully the Spurs can take advantage of that and come away with a W.
Right. So we're not talking to Jeff by random. As it turns out, the Wizards and Spurs will play twice within a week. For the Wizards, it is their next game Wednesday in San Antonio, so it seems like a good chance to sort of catch up with one of the more interesting franchises in the league for the last, 20-odd years, but one that's looks going a little bit different, going a little sideways a little bit. But it feels like the Spurs have picked things up of late, but Jeff, what's interesting is right now, as of this minute, both teams are 40-30. If the Spurs lose to the Warriors, I would have to assume this would be the first time in, I couldn't even begin, at least since Tim Duncan entered the league in 97, that the Wizards would have a better record than San Antonio this late in the season.
Yeah, exactly. This is just unfamiliar territory, not only for Spurs fans, but for the Spurs themselves. As I mentioned in the intro, two decades of excellence always penciled into the West postseason. This is just really uncharted territory. Now, you did mention that the Spurs are finding a little bit of a groove right now as of this recording, winners of three straight. They are pretty solid at home. I believe they boast the fifth best home record in the NBA. So your Wizards are going into very hostile territory. But this is just proof that they are really far from the Tim Duncan era. It's over. He's not walking back anymore. This is a brand new team. It's almost like Popovich is really being tested right now as far as his coaching skills. He's had to cobble together, I lost count, Ben, 20-plus different lineups since the season started. Dealt with not only the injury to Kawhi Leonard, but Rudy Gay, Pau Gasol, Monta Ginobili, Tony Parker, you name, pick a spur, he's been hurt. I mean, it's just been that bad on the injury front for San Antonio this entire season. Now, as you mentioned, they are finding a little bit of an uptick right now. The fans, Kawhi Leonard, they're healthy. That's something I haven't said in quite some time covering San Antonio this season. Everybody's back, less Kawhi Leonard, and they're getting it, mainly because of LaMarcus Aldridge. This guy is a beast this season. He's been playing out of his mind. The Spurs, alongside their defense, which is tops in the NBA, wouldn't be 40-30. Wow, I can't believe I'm saying that, without LaMarcus Aldridge. So a huge tip of the hat to LMA and to their defense and to Popovich. Ben, there was one point in this season where he basically, Popovich said, has trotted out a G League team. I am not joking with you. Bryn Forbes, Davis Bertans, DeJounte Murray, Derek White, all have gotten the starting nods at this time. That's how bad it's been for San Antonio this season.
Yeah, no, it's been bizarre. I mean, obviously the Kawhi thing is something we've all been paying attention to with his injury, and then this beef is the right term, but there's something going on with him in the organization. So that's been interesting to watch. I'll ask you about that in one second, but here's a question. Look, everybody wants to make the playoffs. It's something everybody aims for. For teams like, I mean, the Wizards are even like at this point, like, okay, the playoffs are not, are somewhat assumed. Like they have bigger goals in mind. And I know for the Spurs, just the idea of making the playoffs is, like you said, is not something they've even had to think about for like 20 years. But here's my question. I'm being sort of serious when I say this. The last two times that San Antonio did not make the playoffs, they ended up with David Robinson and Tim Duncan, right? Am I correct in that?
Yes, they did.
Okay, so does anybody even, I mean, again, I know I'm sort of joking, but if you're only making the playoffs as the eighth seed, and knowing that Golden State or Houston, you know, depending on how that would work, would be the team you would play. And I'm sure that San Antonio has all kinds of confidence in their system with, why wouldn't they, with Popovich and everything. I get all that.
Right.
But is there any part where somebody's like, you know what, let's regroup here. We'll hopefully we'll get Kawhi back next year. We add a lottery pick, and maybe we get lucky once again and move way up. And this draft looks like it could be a pretty deep one anyway. Is anybody thinking that at all, that maybe – yeah, you know, you don't root to miss the playoffs, but maybe part of the thinking is it wouldn't be the worst thing in the world if they did.
Look, as far as the fan base is concerned, there's a huge segment of them saying just call it a day, tank it, and get as high as you can. But as far as the team is concerned, no, they're all about winning. DeJounte Murray, the second-year guard, pretty much came out and said, he pretty much drawn a line in the sand. We are making the playoffs. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about that. And that's the mentality of this team right now. They're going to make the playoffs. The draft, be damned. Manu Ginobili also recently said after the Spurs' recent win over in the last game back home in San Antonio, said he was actually shocked that they're at this point, and that he was questioning the Spurs' fortitude, whether or not they're going to make the playoffs. They're in right now, and they're gunning for that. They want to make the postseason. They're going to make the postseason, in my belief, my opinion. But as you mentioned, they'll have one nice date in front of them, either versus Houston or GSW. So at the end of the day, no, I don't think that is on the Spurs' minds. I think they definitely want to make that playoff postseason, not to mention those nice playoff bonus checks that they get. And, yeah, I think it's all sails ahead. They're going to try to make the postseason. And as of right now, barring anything catastrophic, I think they're going to make it. And we shall see the Spurs once again in the postseason. But talk about one dangerous 7-8 seed, huh, Ben?
Yeah, no, I would scare the bejesus out of me if I'm one of those top teams. You don't want to see the Spurs. And I guess we can circle this back to Kawhi. I don't even know what to make of the reports. Sometimes it sounds like he's close to coming back. Other times it sounds like he'll never play again. I mean, I'm kidding with that. But,
right.
Like, I don't know what to make of it. And, look, if you're telling me Kawhi is in the playoffs, even if he's not 100%, which at this point I would assume probably wouldn't be the case. But, you know, if he's around at all, combined with Aldridge, combined with Ginobili, Popovich, and, you know, everything else, you're right, that would be a scary proposition. But if without Kawhi, it's just hard for me to comprehend that they have any prayer of doing much of anything, regardless of their, you know, history. So what's the deal with Kawhi for now, and what's sort of the deal in general with him? Because it has been weird watching this from the outside.
I've been covering this team since 2004, and I've never seen this situation happen in San Antonio. And I think that's why it's being magnified to what it's been this season, because things like this don't happen in SA. David Robinson, military guy, follows orders. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. You know, toes the line. Tim Duncan, he had a father-son relationship with Popovich. So, you know, he followed suit. I got Kawhi Leonard, and he's not like that. And I think you're asking a Kawhi Leonard who, by nature, is just a quiet guy. He's just not going to say anything. I interviewed him the day he got picked by Indiana, then traded to San Antonio. It was like pulling teeth then. I was there at the, the Barclays Center, I believe, and I couldn't get a word out of him. And, you know, you would think at a moment where he just made, you know, himself a little personal history, he can draft the NBA, he'd be all chatty. And that was my first clue that the Spurs have some guy that is completely different. Now, you fast forward to this season and the issues. Look, all I can think about is this. Recall last season when the great Jackie McMullen reported that there was some issues between Pop and LMA, LaMarcus Aldridge. Everybody poo-pooed it. Everybody shot it down. Oh, what is she talking about? You know, Spurs came out and discounted it. LaMarcus Aldridge came out on national radio, discounted it. Lo and behold, it was true. But there were some issues. Now, am I saying that I know there's personal issues between Spurs and Kawhi? No, I don't. But my talk with people that are really connected to the Spurs, they pretty much see this as a situation where it's all in Kawhi. And it basically what it's come down to is that I was told earlier in the season that it was him before Popovich came out and shot the proverbial shot across the bow when he said, we're moving on without you, Kawhi, through the media. So this has been brewing since mid-season. I think it's safe to say that I just don't know. You probably heard this before, Ben. I'm going to reiterate it. I'll believe it that he's going to be a Spur for life, as he said recently, and I get it. What else is he going to say to the media when he's asked that question? But until I see him put his name to that piece of paper with a Supermax deal on his side, then I'll believe he's going to be a Spur for quite some time. But until then, I'm not too sure. This is just really, really difficult for Spurs fans and not only the brass to swallow a pill like this. And I also mentioned this, Ben. I don't want to take too much of your time, but I think this should be really be in focus. I forget the game, but it was before, I want to guess, last week. And Popovich was simply just asked something that had nothing to do with Tim Duncan, just as far as leadership is concerned. And he went on and on about Tim Duncan. I missed this. He did this. He was a polarizer. He was, you know, a force in the locker room. He knew how to handle losses. He knew how to do this. He just took off on Tim Duncan. And I get it. That's Tim Duncan. That's his boy. But I read that as a shot as this team is lacking that type of leadership from a LaMarcus Aldridge, from a Kawhi Leonard. And I think he's mainly looking at Kawhi Leonard, who's supposed to be the face of the franchise, who's supposed to be that guy the Spurs can turn to. They haven't been able to this season. Only, what, 9 games? Even at that? I mean, what did he really do? So I think this is a team that's kind of a rudderless ship right now. They're doing the best they can. It's going to be, you know, Popovich does not pick up a good chunk of Coach of the Year vote. I'd be a little shocked. To LaMarcus Aldridge, too, if he doesn't get a few, maybe second or third place votes for NBA MVP, I'd be shocked. But I'm at a loss of words. I think we'll all find out this summer when it's time to negotiate that extension, and we'll see where Kawhi Hart's really lie. Does it lie in San Antonio, as he says, or does he lie elsewhere after, you know, maybe he wants to pick up the pieces and start all over again with a different team? I just hope if that's his mindset, that he tells the Spurs earlier than later so they can get something for him, at least something. They're not going to get equal value, but hopefully they'll get something comparable should his heart not lie in San Antonio anymore.
So, that's definitely something we're all going to be paying attention to. If Kawhi Leonard changes teams, that could definitely change a whole bunch of things in the NBA. So we'll keep an eye on that down the line. But as for these two games coming up, when I look at the NBA stats, the Spurs are 28th in scoring, which is, you know, just crazy to see it being that low. But they're also third in bench scoring, averaging 42 points a game off the bench. And the Wizards bench has not been so hot. They've been at best in the last six games where Ramon Sessions has been playing as the backup point guard. The bench has been outscored, or the Wizards have been outscored every game that Sessions has played. So they're not getting a ton of production off the bench, and that obviously could be a big turning point in this game. So we know about Aldridge and some of the starters. What's the Spurs bench look like? Why have they been able to put up a lot of points? Isn't that possibly an area where they could be dangerous for the Wizards?
Think about this, Ben. They have themselves some Hall of Famers coming off that bench. Manu Ginobili, Tony Parker, on occasion, Pau Gasol, Rudy Gay. That's some nice little firepower off that team, despite their age, despite maybe their physical state. But they've been pretty good with that bench. And I think when you have a bench comprised of guys who've been there, done that, like Parker and Ginobili and Pau and Gay, and the list goes on and on, yeah, you're going to get production out of that. That's a stabilizing force coming off that bench to surround the young kids that come off that Spurs bench, like Bryn Forbes and Davis Bertans. The Spurs have been relying on those two guys quite a bit this season. He tossed in the fact that they have a sophomore point guard, DeJounte Murray, who, when he does hit that sophomore wall in games, wow, Tony Parker's coming off the bench for you. Phenomenal. And that's great. So I think you comprise and look at the Spurs bench as a whole, that's why they're so productive. That's why. They got some good cast members coming off that bench, and it definitely will rattle any opposing team's bench when they talk with the younger guys, maybe not so experienced guys. So I think that's a big reason why the Spurs bench has been so successful this season.
Yeah, no, definitely interesting. You're right. I mean, those names, and obviously we know Ginobili and New Parker wasn't starting, but yeah, you hear all those names together, and it's like, wow, what, if this was, I don't know, 2010, look out. But in 2018, it's a different deal. But they're being effective, and that's definitely, I think, something the Wizards are going to have to keep an eye on, because the Wizards' bench has been, struggled to varying degrees. Although I'll be curious to see Kelly Oubre against sort of those older guys, if he can get going in the open court. In any event, Jeff, it'll be interesting to see these two teams go head to head. It won't be back to back games, but two games within a week offers a pretty interesting contrast. So we'll get to see how that one plays out. Jeff, really appreciate your time. If you guys are interested more on the Spurs, go check out the Locked On Spurs podcast and get Jeff's insight on that team. Jeff, really great catching up with you. Best of luck with everything, and hopefully we'll be talking. I won't say we'll be talking as with both teams in the finals, but hopefully if they're both in the playoffs, maybe we have something to talk about.
Crossing my fingers there, my friend. Crossing my fingers.
Awesome. All right. Well, we'll talk soon. Really appreciate it.
Thank you, Ben.